Blog Talk Radio.
There you have Oasis with Roll With It. Hello, I'm your host Red Oldham, here at Talk Manchester United with the St. Louis Red Army. Tonight we have Patrick Kelly out on location somewhere in Soulard watching his beloved Portland Timbers. We also have Man City Phil Kiefer, and he's on location at the Amsterdam Tavern live. And then we also have... Remotely, we have Ryan Kazat and Matt Hutchinson with our early crew. So, guys, we're going to have a great show tonight. We have tons to talk about. I know I say that every week, but we truly do this week. We're going to be talking about the Bournemouth match, which seems like 5 weeks ago now. We have the Juventus match where the old lady goes down. And we also have Man City Phil coming with us on the city buildup of the Manchester Derby, and we have some things going on with UEFA as well. So we have a ton of information, but we're going to start off with in 2011, Manchester United renames the North Strand at Old Trafford after Sir Alex Ferguson in celebration of his 25 years as manager. He is given a guard of honor by his players and opponent Sunderland, managed by former Red Steve Bruce. Executive Director Dave Gill makes the announcement, and workers reveal the legend in red letters, Sir Alex Ferguson stand. So, guys, that's where happened to us in 2011. But, boy, I'm telling you, a ton going on. But let's go ahead and talk about a couple things just real quick. Alexis Sanchez came in, guys, with a huge contract, Matt. Right now, we're trying to renegotiate with David De Gea and Tony Martial in their negotiations, and they're holding up saying, wait a minute, if Sanchez is getting paid that kind of money, we need to be getting kind of paid that kind of money. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, it's a problem. You know, and this happens with a lot of sports teams out there, not just with football, where these players teams get saddled with these huge contracts with these players who just don't seem to actually earn it, and then you got other players making the argument that if they're going to get paid that much, I deserve more. So it definitely could be a hindrance in us trying to get those two guys to come back.
Most definitely. Hey, Ryan, Ed Woodward met with investors on the New York Stock Exchange today. Obviously, looks like financially the club is doing rather well, and then just coming off that great Juventus win. What do you think he told the investors at the New York Stock Exchange today?
Well, rather well. They're doing phenomenally well, record-breakingly well. We're obviously the best-performing team as far as financial goes in the world. So I didn't really read much about it. I didn't really see anything about it. But I'm guessing from here, obviously with us playing Champions League this year, we did get that extra bonus money from Adidas, which is worth millions of dollars. So we're very good and sound, it seems. I mean, we'll talk about it later, that the club's hopefully, turning around, at least staying the ship a little bit. It's not in so much chaos, so I would say he had good things to report.
So I think the big thing from a football perspective on our end is what will happen in the January signing window. But, Phil, Tony Martial gets an international call up with France. I think that's well-deserved. What are your thoughts on that?
I do think it's deserved for him. I mean, he's an excellent player. He's in really, really good form. I'm a little disappointed from a City perspective that Aymeric Laporte, who's been excellent this year so far, has not received an international call-up, but I'm happy for Tony Martial.
Now, doesn't Laporte rotate in with somebody else on Man City?
Laporte has started every game so far in the Premier League. He's the only central defender that has. He's the only one so far. So I think he has deserved a call up, and it just hasn't happened. But he still has the opportunity because he hasn't received an international call up with France, and Spain is hot on the trail to get him. And if I was him, I would consider moving to Spain.
No doubt, most definitely. All right, guys. Hey, man, like I said, it seems like Bournemouth was like 5 weeks ago, but, man, there was a lot going on in that game, and so we're going to be doing our elevator pitches here, guys. So in and out real quick. Matt, we're going to start with you. It seems like that Manchester United has created this trend where we have this slow start, and then we just finish like gangbusters. Bournemouth was no exception.
Yeah, we certainly continue to play, two different halves. Bournemouth took it to us the first half, and thankfully in the second half we turned it on. Martial created quite a bit of problems, and we walked out with a smash and grab.
Most definitely. Ryan, Bournemouth really could have been up 2-0, 3-0, maybe even 4-0 in the first half. They had some golden opportunities they missed.
Yeah, I mean, as it was, as forementioned, another slow start for United. We all knew going into Bournemouth that they're definitely going to have a go with us, but it's just unbelievable the heroic scenes that are happening now at the club. But what's troubling for me, obviously, as it's been all year, is just the defense, and it's really the spacing of the defense. These sides, whether it's Juventus or it's away at Bournemouth, they're just having way too easy of time to getting on goal with us. And the real question I've been wondering all year is we haven't really switched personnel from last year as far as the players on the stage. So what's going on? But it was kind of enlightening to hear Jose. Hey, last year I played my way. I played defensively. That's why we didn't get all here. Now I'm trying to play more offensively, and we're leaking goals. Like, you can't hide the weakness as a squad playing the fans want me to play. But it's all about finding that balance, and it seems that we've hopefully found something there.
Boy, isn't that the truth, Ryan? You want to say attack, 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 but then sometimes you can't defend, 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 and that's a problem. Phil, you know something about good goalkeeping by looking at Ederson and Joe Hart in the past. Claudio Bravo notwithstanding
not so
there.
Much.
But with that being said, though, Dave saves, Dave saves, Dave saves. Give that guy a lifetime contract, don't you think?
I think you have to at this point. I mean, he is incredible. I mean, how many more points can that guy over the past, I'll call it three seasons, have brought to the table for Manchester United? How many more times could he have bailed them out of situations that could have lost points? I mean, it's insane. He is one, if not the best goalkeeper in the world, he's in the top two. So I would rate him
most
the
definitely.
Best, so.
Yes, and certainly showed his worth against Bournemouth. We talked about I want to jump in this, kind of jump in and out real quick here, guys. At the end of the day, Jose does want to wants defensive players, but then the players want to attack. Matt, where do we find that balance? It looks like we have such a huge gap between the defenders and the midfield, and we've talked about this over and over again, and I'm jumping ahead just a little bit. But I would almost think that Ander Herrera is kind of the bridge between offense and defense right now.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. I think Matic has definitely settled into a role where he can sit in front of the back four and play destroyer, and Pogba should have free roam. So you got to have the other guy that can cover the rest of the space, and you were hoping that Fred was going to be able to get in there and do it, and he just hasn't picked up the league yet. And Herrera's been hurt this year, but he's been with us for the past couple games, and he looks like maybe he'll be able to settle in and take over that role. So I think it's going to hinge on him to be able to really solidify that gap in between. That's the one area of the park I think we're really struggling.
Most definitely. But, Ryan, what I think I'm really happy to see is Tony Martial has figured out that he can be a two-way player. He can be a force on defense as well as offense, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you could just see, I mean, he's smiling again. You know, I mentioned on the last pod, he's been walking around with a scowl for years. The guy's smiling again. We've also talked about we need that difference maker. You know, the De Bruyne for City, the Salah for Liverpool. We haven't had that man all season. And finally, we've got our guy who could step up in big situation to do these goals. But also, you can kind of see him going back and trying to defend. And, you know, before we go into Juventus, I just wanted to say Sanchez is – He's exactly that player. He just hasn't showed it offensively. But you can see his work rate on the ball is just second to none. Martial is finally picking up on that.
Most definitely. And Phil, to kind of finish up Bournemouth, it's always nice to have young strikers, and you know that with Gabriel Jesus. Marcus Rashford showed a lot of patience on that last goal. from the cross there as there's kind of bounced around a little bit. He went ahead and gathered himself, let the ball find his feet, and had a nice clean finish.
Yes, he did. He's, as much as I don't like the red side of Manchester, Mark Strasburg is an obviously great talent. And so it's good to see him get in there, Jose giving him game time, letting him get those big moments like that. I'm sure it'll build his confidence and he'll continue to progress forward if Jose's willing to give him the opportunities. He's a killer.
Most definitely. You know, that's a good segue, and I'm actually just going to kind of skip down a little bit, guys, before we jump into Juventus. But Lukaku didn't play against Bournemouth. He didn't get to play against Juventus either. Matt, Lukaku came into training camp a little overweight. He put on weight over the summer. He's went through a scoring drought. Do you think he's really injured, or do you think that he is just so far out of form that right now Jose wants him to get settled and kind of sit and think about some things for a bit?
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards he probably needs some time to sit and get some rest. He had a long summer with Belgium, played all the way through to the end of the World Cup. He had a fantastic World Cup, and he was a leader for Belgium. I think he just not having a whole lot of time off, coming straight back into United and having to take over that spot right away, I think has worn him out. So I think he needs some time to sit out, get it sorted, and I think he'll come back good. The guy has got a great scoring record over his career. He's just hit quite a bit of a drought, and maybe the rest will do him some good.
Well, I tell you what, Ryan, I thought about the Juventus' first goal with just the long ball that Ronaldo just took right out of the air with his foot. Just a phenomenal goal, and it made me think, could Romelu Lukaku have done that? And the answer is obviously no, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't think he could put himself in those types of positions. I mean, the difference is obviously we know Lukaku is a guy who needs to settle in front of the net, needs to get balls played, you know, right into his pocket and have space like that. Ronaldo, as we have talked about before, he's a worldly striker. He can make something out of nothing. And although that was a beautiful ball, he still had to play on the right side of Lindelof, and he still had to meet it and strike it. And even though I was shaking my head yelling at the TV, that's a world that you have to appreciate that from a guy like Ronaldo.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys could have actually scored that goal? Now, I will leave you guys with this. Lukaku, even though being out of form and even though we kind of give him stick about the heavy touches, at the end of the day, Romelu Lukaku is a world-class footballer that is just a beast in front of the net. He has great pace and power. And so I think when he is on, he's one of the best strikers in the Premier League. And so getting him to that position is really going to be, I think, critical moving forward for United. Phil, from a City's perspective, when we play on the 11th, would you rather see Lukaku on the bench or in the lineup?
Based on his performances in the previous derby he's been a part, I'm not nervous about Lukaku being on the pitch. I mean, he seems like he's out of form, and you guys know much more about that than me. He does look a little bit out of shape, and I'd be happy to let him, let him dare to find form against us right now. So that's just my two cents on it.
Well, I say if we bring him back, you got to have Vincent Kompany play in the back four. So I think if we do that,
possibly,
it'd be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That would be fair. Very fair statement.
That's right. Guys, let's talk about the Juventus game. Ryan, let's start with you. I did not see this coming. I mean, we're playing at the old lady. Juventus had not given up a goal in UEFA competition and goes up 1-0 in the second half. And really, quite frankly, Ryan, let's just say that Juventus had three or four golden opportunities and just let them slip away. Ryan, what were your thoughts, after Ronaldo scored the goal and they had these chances, especially that sitter in the six-yard box, it could have been 2-0. What were your thoughts going into, let's say, when Fellini came into the game?
My heart told me we still have a chance, given how we've come back this season. And it's fun to watch United again, but my head told me, well, it's done. Now we just have to go and win our last two matches to hopefully have a chance to qualify. But, I mean, let's just put these things in perspective here. Since they built that stadium, they've only lost nine times. And we went in there and got them. You know, that's just the incredible thing about it. And it is a happy hunting ground for us, Turin. The last two times we were there, we have beat them. But that's when, as Jose said, at Manchester United was the better team. We were not the better team coming to this. You know, Juventus is they're a super team. You know, you just have to look at the squads. But when Fellaini came in, I knew he was going to be somebody who was going to have to be dealt with. Absolutely balls in the air. Juventus manager even commenting on that, how, you know, he definitely had to watch out for that. But Brett, just from the Juan Mata free kick to kind of that freak goal, which it looked like Fellaini may have gotten a small strain of his hair on that ball, to make that ball go deflect more into the net. It was just an incredible thing to see, and definitely one of the biggest wins in years for Manchester United.
Most definitely. Phil, you know what's interesting is that Fellaini gets a lot of stick from the opponents and from even some Manchester United fans, but at the end of the day, Mario Fellaini has to be accounted for in the 18-yard box, don't you think?
Absolutely does. I mean, you see it time and time again where that guy just – aerially, he is one of the best players, certainly in the Premier League, as far as getting his head on the end of every ball. And there's not very many center backs that can mark him on those set pieces. You know, he's a difficult matchup, and you do have to account for him, even though I give him a lot of shtick about not being the most technically gifted player out there. That's for sure.
But most definitely. And so, Matt, I saved this for you. All right, Jose Mourinho now, he just continues to break out the playbook, Newcastle, Everton, Bournemouth, now Juventus. I mean, the guy is starting to form the team in his own image. Reluctantly, Matt, is Jose Mourinho the guy, or are we still looking for Zidane to come in and save the day?
I still can't get behind Jose. But here's the thing. I think he's starting to figure something out. The way we've been playing and the way we've been winning over the past couple weeks is not something I think is like truly sustainable. But I think he has done some things to get us in the position to win these games. I think bringing on Mata when he did and bringing on Fellaini when he did against Juventus was critical in helping us get the win. So I think he's made some decisions that have gotten us back into the game, but, you know, these smash and grabs aren't sustainable. But things are definitely heading in the right direction. So hopefully he keeps a good momentum going, keeps a good mojo going, and keeps some confidence in some of these players, especially the guys like Martial and Herrera, and can get behind them to keep the momentum going. So I'll give him some credit, but we still got a long ways to go.
Matt, staying with you. Mata, just great quality on the free kick. It reminded me of a lot of the great free kick takers of Manchester United's day. But should he start against City on Sunday?
You know, I don't know. It's one of those things where certain types of games, he can disappear. I don't think I would start him. I think he's a guy you definitely bring in down a goal, because I think he can settle some things down and help get the offense quicken if it needs to. But sometimes these are just the type of games he can get lost in. There's a lot of pace on the City side, which is not his strong suit. So as much as I love him and there's situations where he's great, I don't know that I would start him, but he would definitely make an appearance at some point in the game.
Okay, most definitely. Ryan, Paul Pogba. Boy, he's just the most frustrating player that I think we've ever had on the pitch, and I think Sir Alex Ferguson realized that. He has these flashes of brilliance, and then he just disappears. And in games, big games with Juventus and then with City on Sunday, he's got to show up for 90 minutes, don't you think?
Well, yeah, he does. But, I mean, besides Juventus, he has had a pretty good month. He's been on great form. He has showed his some of his quality there. But going into Juventus, his old home, I guess it's just one of those things where you're just trying to impress, you're trying too hard. He did give up the ball quite a bit, but he was still – I thought he still played, you know, a pretty decent match. But walking into the Dam last year during the Derby, Paul Pogba was the last hero you thought we would have had, and boy, did he come up big. So definitely look for him to bounce back against that game.
Most definitely. And Phil, looking at Juventus just for a quick, just for a little bit, I mean, Manchester City in great form with, besides Raheem Sterling's phantom fall with the PK. besides that, take that aside. It was a dominating performance for Manchester City. But I would think that Manchester City is looking at Juventus as maybe one of the top four teams in the world and somebody to rival them for the UEFA Championship.
Yeah, Juve's an excellent squad. They are very, very good. I think if you look at it, the betting favorites, I believe Juve is at like 8-1 odds with Barcelona. So it's City, Barcelona, Juve. They're definitely going to be well-respected. They're going to be a threat down the line. Ronaldo is Cristiano Ronaldo. He's incredible. There's less than a handful of players in the world that can score that goal that he did. And as long as you have that man on the pitch, you're a dangerous team. That's for sure.
Most definitely. And now, Matt, United wanted Sandro in the transfer market, and he was part of that mix-up at the end of the game that allowed us to get the own goal at 2-1. Do you think Sandro is somebody that United will still target in the transfer market come May?
Yeah, I think so. I think Jose's definitely shown that he wants to get a defensive player, and it's one bad play for Sandro. So I think he's definitely a quality guy that we would want to maybe consider going after.
Yeah, I think so too. So, Ryan, I'm going to finish this up by saying United really controls their own destiny. Ryan, as you guys know, is an expert on Young Boys, and we will play them at Old Trafford. So, if we defeat the Young Boys, Ryan, we're moving on to the next round.
Well, God, all I kept thinking about was, man, it's praying to come, and either we're just going to have an underwhelming performance, because that's what kind of United's been about this year, is playing down or up to our opponents, depending who they are. So if we can just get the job done at Old Trafford, that'll kind of take the tension off, because you do not want to go to Valencia having to get a result to move on, because it's kind of a smallish stadium. The fans are on top of you. It's going to be a wild atmosphere. So, yeah, hopefully we can get it done for Swiss Camp's Young Boys.
Most definitely. So there we go. And, of course, Juve plays Valencia. And then if we tie or defeat Young Boys and Valencia loses, then we are in the next round. Phil, let's go ahead and let's move on to the derby, the Manchester City derby that we're all really excited about. There's a lot of storylines going on with City, though. So, let's start with Man City's form. Guys, you're playing good football right now.
Yeah, they're in excellent form right now. If you look at it just in the league compared to where they were at last year, 9 wins, 2 draws, 0 losses. Their goal differential is too short of what it was at this point last year. They're 2 points less than where they're at. So they're right on track with what they were, how they were playing last year. And we saw how that ended up. And I'll even give them more credit this year that I think they are more defensively sound as a squad than they were at this point last year. And it's showing. They have one more clean sheet, one less goal allowed. They're going to be very, very, very tough, and they're playing very, very well. And they don't have arguably the best player on their team playing right now. So, and largely
that's right
this year.
Yeah, the Ginger Hazard is not playing. And
he is
so
not.
Without De Bruyne. And which is good for us, I did want to ask you about that, Phil, real quick before we start moving around. De Bruyne did play; he played one game, and then he was out a month. Came back one game. It looks like he's out another month. What's going on with him?
So, he's had problems with his knees. And to kind of piggyback off of what Matt had mentioned earlier about Lukaku, having a long season and being tired. De Bruyne played 53 matches across all competitions last year. And then had to go, then went into the World Cup and went just as far as obviously Romelu did. And so I think part of that is really grinded him down. I think the longer term concern is this isn't the first time injuries as far as knees have went to De Bruyne. He had a long term injury in 2016 where he missed a couple months. So 2 months on the shelf this year, another month tagged on. not to the same knees, but these are long-term concerns, and it is worrying to. If I had to critique Pep on something, I think he should not have played De Bruyne in a League Cup match against Fulham and risk him for injury when he's just coming back off of injury.
Most definitely. Matt, as we start sizing up Manchester City, what do you do with this team? They press strong. They're an attacking side. They have a very aggressive goalkeeper. They have some defenders that play strong at the back. How does Manchester United play against this squad?
Yeah, this may be one of those games where we do start Fellaini, and you know, so I'm not always the one to say that right away, but you know, I this is a game where we're gonna have to absorb some pressure. That there's no doubt about the fact that our defense has been pretty shaky this year. So Fellaini has done a good job of when he sits back in front of the front four, kind of helping anchor things down. His physical presence will help quite a bit. So I think we're going to have to play big. We're going to have to play sitting in the back a little bit more than we would, as fans, would like to see. And then just really be conscious about when we get the opportunity to counter, to really go a counterattack and use some speed for Martial and Rashford or whoever else is going to be starting up top. So I think it's going to be sit back and counter as best we can.
Okay, so Ryan, you know, Victor Lindelof has gotten a lot of stick from the fans, but he has slowly but surely, he's kind of building up to be a strong central defender. What are your thoughts on the Lindelof-Smalling pairing going into the City match?
Well, I mean, as we've mentioned before, there's just kind of a rotating cast in the back four. And especially, you know, with the two center back pairing. So it definitely is good to see that there has been what seems to be a relationship has been forged between those two. It's going to be put up to the test again. The thing with Juve, although they did have a lot of chances, they did do a really good job containing. Ronaldo had three good chances. So that's, you know, that's arguably the best striker in the world. So you have to give some credit where credit's due with those guys. But, yeah, to go off Matt's point, too, this is kind of a match going into where I'm glad Jose is our manager. We're going to have to play his style, you know, to kind of have any chance. We're going to have to sit back. We're going to have to absorb. But we have the players. We definitely have the speed to go on the counterattack. We did see that at Juve a couple times. We saw that with Marcus Rashford. You know, we should have won that game 3-1. But that link at play was exactly what Jose wants to do. So hopefully we can see more of that at the Etihad.
Phil, Raheem Sterling has tons of pace, and kind of the knock on him in the past is he couldn't finish. Boy, is he finishing this year, though.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. I mean, so far this season, Raheem has, you know, 7 goals and 14 appearances. I mean, he has 7 goals, 7 assists, so he contributes every single match. So he's in outstanding form. He's one of the most informed players that we have. And more importantly, he is starting to finish, and apparently, unless it's tripping over himself and getting a penalty, then he apparently has some issues with it. But that's here to there. but you know, even I'll add to it. I think that Raheem is judged differently than quite a few other players. Like, it's hard to say that he hasn't been a solid finisher for a season and a half now. I mean, last year he had 23 goals in 47 comps. I mean, there's not very many strikers in the Premier League that could match that level. So as many opportunities as he missed, he also buries quite a few opportunities and even earned 13 points for City last year in last-minute goals. So
staying with you, Phil, John Stones,
sure.
Been kind of rotated in and out that back four. I would say if anything is kind of unsettling with City right now is they don't really have a firm center back pairing right now. I'm not saying they're not quality, but right now they just really haven't settled on that back pairing. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm a thought, you know, obviously with Kompany, you know, you have constant injury concerns. I mean, it's something that comes with him. You put him out there for 4 matches in a row, and you're almost begging for an injury to occur. I mean, Stones had a knock a little bit early in the season, so Laporte really hasn't had that steady influence yet with him in the center back pairing. But if I had to pick my center back to pair with Laporte right now, it is John Stones over Vincent Kompany. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'll probably get stick for it. But Stones, while he's played this year, has been very, very, very solid.
Ryan, when you look at Man City's lineup, what is the one, who is the one player that you fear the most?
And you could take your pick, but as Phil was talking about, you know, Raheem, he's just it's been unbelievable. But he's a guy who I hope plays just as bad as the last one. You know, we can remember the last derby where he missed two or three in the first half. They should have been up 4 or 5 nil.
Yep.
But the the entire team with the speed that they have, it's absolutely unbelievable how they've just been demolishing teams. You know, we're happy when we score 2 goals in a match. You know, these guys are doing scoring with ease, so it's a lot to be fearful.
Matt, it seems like that the venerable Sergio Aguero is often overlooked, but he's still having a strong season game in and game out, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's one of those guys that is always going to be a threat to score. I know Jesus has certainly kind of taken that mantle of being their number one threat up top, but Aguero's got such quality on the ball. He plays like any typical Argentinian player where he's just got really good tight control within the box, and you always got to account for him for sure.
Most definitely. All right. So, guys, so let's last point on this one. City, of course, top of the table. Man, they're rolling pretty strong. United, of course, guys, we've gained a lot of momentum here. This could be a huge game for us. But when you look at the teams in the Premier League right now, Ryan, who's going to dethrone City, if anybody?
Red, I'd rather not comment on that, really. I don't want to say who could do it. But right now they're looking to be the only team that is playing consistent football to be able to go do that. I mean, Arsenal is just, from last season, they've come absolutely leaps and bounds from what they were. I think they're really going to be a threat in the next couple of years, a challenge for the title. Tottenham is, you know, they've just kind of stayed where they're at. They're playing good football, but I don't think they can get over the hurdle. So, unfortunately, I have to say Liverpool.
All right. Phil, the one team in the table that you think could give you guys trouble?
Outside of, let's just all boo it together, the Reds, I think Chelsea could potentially sneak up and be a threat. Hazard, in excellent form, apparently has decided to play again this season and be, you know, a top five player in the world. He's not throwing a fit about something or trying to transfer out or all that stuff. So, to me, Chelsea is a real threat. Mauricio Sarri has already implemented his system in there, and they are playing really, really well. And that is a team that matching up with City could be a threat. I'm glad we played them in the Community Shield early in the year and got an idea of what to look for. But I think they could be a real threat outside of Liverpool. Liverpool, to me, is the biggest threat, but Chelsea is sneaky.
Well, but I will tell you guys this, that when you're with Manchester United and you're playing them week in and week out, you always have to remember this. And, Matt, don't you think that even if we're down 2-0 to Manchester City on Sunday, I think we'll be singing that chant at the Amsterdam on Sunday, don't you think?
If last year proved anything, you can't count us out. That was absolutely a wild game last year. So I will be less cranky if we go down 2-0 knowing what could happen.
Most definitely. So, okay, Phil, going to put you on the spot here. Will you guys be singing Blue Moon at the end of the match with a victory, or will you be hearing Glory, Glory, Man United?
I feel very confident that we'll be singing, more than likely not Blue Moon. We tend to do the Oasis Wonderwall, tends to get thrown onto the jukebox in those matches.
Get
out
of here.
But that's for you, Ryan. That's for you, buddy.
Liam, he would just cringe knowing that song anyway.
So I would love for the supporters to be up here singing Blue Moon at the end of the day, and I do think we are gonna walk away with the victory, and I'm even willing to throw a match prediction. I think it'll be 3-1 City.
3-1 City, okay. So Ryan, your match prediction here. Will we be singing Glory, Glory, Man United, or will we have to listen to the shrill voices of this, the Blues singing Blue Moon?
Well, like I said, singing Wonderwall, that's just god awful. Just pick something else, Phil, but I get it. But I'm thinking a draw. I'm thinking that the first half, City's just going to come out banging. They'll probably get a goal in the first 15, 20 minutes. Raheem Sterling will miss a couple sitters. We'll go into the second half. We'll be down. We'll bring in Fele. And we're talking maybe, you know, another goal in the 80th minute or so. So I'm looking at a 1-1 draw.
All right. Matt, what's your thoughts at the end of the match? What are we going to be saying?
I hope we hear Roll with It. I'm gonna be crazy. I'm gonna say we're gonna pull this thing off. We're gonna keep the Lakers winner going, and we'll win 2-1.
Boys, I'm gonna tell you it's gonna be a draw. It's gonna be 3-3, and Fellini's gonna head one in the 92nd minute. All right, so mark it down, 3-3, with Fele banging it home in the 92nd minute. I think it's just going to be – I really think it's going to be an up-and-down game, and I think that we're just going to have enough counterattacks to give them trouble. Guys, you know, Rashford missed a wide-open shot against Juventus on a one-on-one that could have put us up 3-1. So I think there's going to be a lot of goals scored because our defense just isn't strong enough. Guys, man, we just ran out of time. In fact, we went over. We're going to have to get to the UEFA investigation on financial fair play at another time, and also talk about UEFA and what's going on with the Super League as well. We'll have to do that next week. Guys, we'll be there Sunday at the Amsterdam Tavern, passing out poppies. Guys, for Man City Phil, thank you very much for being on the show. Matt and Ryan, of course, and myself, Red Olin, we're happy to be on here. But, guys, a great, great show. Really, really enjoyed it. And, as always, we're going to go out with the Stone Roses. Special thanks to Man City Phil this week, giving us perspective on Manchester City. And, of course, the regular guys here, Ryan Kazdow, Matt Hutchinson, with PK being on MLS assignment. We'll be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. with another installment of Talk Manchester United for St. Louis Red Army. We'll break down the derby and all things United. Thanks for joining us. And remember, glory to